called The Black Man Is God. It's called The Black Man Is God. Next album. This is for the children. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea from myself, of course, but this is for the children. I got.
Make this prediction. This will be the biggest upset in all fighting history. The easiest fight of my life.
You think your cousin can whoop me? You really do? Anybody on your watch? Anybody in my family?
He's young. He's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet. A prophet.
Goal ain't have a net. Who would have dreams and karaoke to cassette? I met OB as an OG in the taxi. Nah, I was legends, rest in peace, Pop's a legend, Mike Corey and Sean Jordan was the essence of the young chorus where we grew from. Seemed like a second, now they less important to the new sun. I guess today weighs more than yesterday. It's morbid to suggest that they will come for them too. When it's a brother younger than you, who humble and who? Used to coach him, night coast and blew up, who knew? He caught you on a rough night, you were stumbling through. Now he telling you to get yours, get yours.
All of you reporters made it hard on them. Never write about me like him. Never make me think of one. Just make me angry. Never make me go underdog. And never talk about who's gonna stop me. Well, ain't nobody gonna stop me. Not a heavyweight in the world fast enough to stop me.
He's a poet, a prophet.
It's that time, y'all. Part two of the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast interview with Roy Hall, conducted on September 17th of 2016. It's your man Jay Hicks back again. Part one was awesome. Part two was even better. The interview with Roy was just so fantastic. We just had to extend it a little bit longer, so we went into overtime. So this is the overtime session where we get into a lot of hot topics of the day. We talk about athletes and handling of their money and what people don't really know about when athletes receive all these millions of dollars and what they have to go through as far as finding somebody trustworthy that can manage their money. We talk about the Colin Kaepernick controversy and what he's doing right and what the people who may be supporting what he's doing are doing wrong. We talk about whether or not college athletes should be paid. And we talk about college football, of course, and this year's Ohio State Buckeyes. So Roy gives us a Heisman preview and everything, man. It's dope. We talk about all kinds of stuff, y'all, in the second part of the podcast. So it's a little bit shorter. This one's only going to be about 35 minutes or so, but I know y'all are going to enjoy it. Please let us know what you thought about the first interview and this half of the interview with Roy on our website, hiphopsportsreport.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher, of course. And you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at HHS Report. Please shout us out and let us know what you're thinking about. And if you like this interview and you enjoyed it, please share it with somebody that you know, because we're always trying to gain new followers and we're just growing this thing as best as we can. So shout out to Roy once again. And here's part two, y'all. Check it out. And then you mentioned also that you had some injury issues. I think it was your second season where you had a nasty collision against the Houston Texans, and there was injuries to yourself and the guy that you ran into on kick coverage, right? And so I think that probably set you back quite a bit. What was it like having to deal with the injuries and going through the rehab process and getting put on IR or whatever? What's that like?
It's tough. It's tough because when you get hurt, you know, you're kind of an outcast. I mean, you can be around and be in meetings, but it's just something about hobbling around and not being able to go out there and compete, where you just kind of want to fade to like a non-existence. Like, you really just want to get away. And that's why most guys, when they go on IR, they do leave. They do leave the team, or they do go and rehab in their hometowns because they just want to be around, because there's nothing that you could really add just standing on the sideline. You know, especially when you're a young guy that doesn't really have anything to add. And so, it gets kind of tough, you know, and being in a training room all the time. And so, Coach Tom Moore, who was our offensive coordinator, was like, man, when you get to the league, you have a resume and you build your resume. And so, you know, when you get a shoulder on there out for the season and a knee out for the season and another knee and you're out for the season, you know, guys are going to look at that resume and say, well, you have no productivity and you're always hurt. And that's what you are, which is why we can't give you another opportunity. And so you try, you know that if you get hurt, there's always somebody behind you or somebody that they could bring in that could do your job. And so, you know, that next draft, we drafted Pierre Garçon. We had the same agent, and I was training Pierre and training with Pierre before he got drafted out of Mount Union, and we drafted him, and then he was my backup, and then watch this. Then I got hurt again, and then Pierre got in there and started balling, and lo and behold, then I got hurt again, and then he ended up being kind of a go-to receiver for Peyton, and signed like a big $50 million contract or whatnot with the Washington Redskins. But it just goes to show you, if you're not on the field producing, you know, you're not going to be able to do or add anything to the team, and, you know, you're a liability, and they'll get rid of you. It's just a business. It's never personal. And so when you get hurt, it's tough, it's challenging, but it really starts to build that persistence. It builds that resiliency in your character, and you just got to keep fighting, because you know how many people are depending on you to make it or depending on you to be the best you could be. You know, you're not just representing yourself. You represent South Euclid, Ohio. You represent the Ohio State University. You represent your family. You represent your friends. You represent all the little kids that's looking up to you in elementary and middle school in the inner city of Columbus, inner city Cleveland, inner city Indianapolis, saying, I want to be like that guy. So you got to figure out a way to get back on the horse, so to speak, man, and get after it. So I did that 3 years, 4 years in a row. And then after a while, man, you just lose the opportunities after your body starts to break down.
What would you say then? Is it safe to say that the injuries are the hardest part about making it as a professional athlete? Is it just dealing with, you know, keeping your body right and being fortunate enough to avoid injury? Or is it something else that people don't really think about?
I just think it's everything that comes with the level of, and again, we're talking about one of those three stooges, so to speak. You got entertainers, you got rappers or musicians, and then you got professional athletes. And everybody wants to be on that level, so to speak, or have that type of success or whatever it is that comes with it. But it's challenging because it's lonely, because everybody, you can't keep the same people around you that you had when you didn't have anything, and you don't have any privacy. And, you know, you do have to take care of your body. That's a challenge. But then, you know, you also have to figure out how to go from being broke and not having anything to having some type of level of wealth. And being able to trust certain people. It's a huge pet peeve of mine when people say, how did this athlete get this money and lose it? Well, when you start out with nothing and then they hand you over millions and then they say, hey, here's this random guy, this quote unquote reputable guy that can take care of your money, and you're supposed to hand over your money to somebody else that you don't know and just trust that they're going to do the right thing with it. It'll cost you at times, man. And so, you know, they tell you, you know, invest with this guy or do this or do that. But you're like, man, I just had $0 in my bank account. Now I have $500,000. You want me to now take my $500,000 and give it to somebody else? And so it's like, what investment am I going to make? Where am I going to find where I can make $500,000 or $1 million or $25 million overnight? Tell me what I'm supposed to do with that. And so, you know, I just think that people always rush to judgment. Like, if you ain't never had money, then you don't know how to deal with money. We'll hook up with some people that do know how to use money. Just because somebody will take care of your money don't mean they're going to take care of my money. You know, and so, you know, from where I'm from, you know, you're like, I'm taking care of mama, I'm taking care of dad. I mean, if you're coming from a family where you already come from a $500,000 crib or $1 million home, you're not thinking, when I make it to the league, I'm going to buy my mom a house, because you already got a nice house. And so it's just different demographics, different thinking. But I think the adjustment and trying to learn how to navigate through how and what to do with your money. You know, I mean, I didn't know when I was in middle school, high school, in college, that, you know, the banks only insured up to, I don't know, $275,000, $300,000 of your money. And you got to figure out where to put it. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know you got to have different banks and different accounts and different. Like, I didn't know that. But nobody taught me that. I mean, but nobody, who's going to teach the inner city kid, like, hey, by the way, when you make it, you got to figure out where to put your millions of dollars. Like, you can't just stuff it under your mattress. But you have to figure out those types of things. And, you know, it's a certain level of trust you got to have and getting the right people around you to make the right decisions, you know, and to think long term. As much as the NFL and professional sports is in the right now, everything is about thinking long term. Even in college, they talk about plan B. Get your degree. You got to have a plan B. Get your degree. You got to have something to fall back on. And even that's ironic, because the majority of the things the guys major in, they don't even end up going into that field anyway. And so, you know, you're really just trying to stay eligible more than anything. And so you're like, hey, this sounds good. I'm going to be a communications major. That sounds great, like communication. Or I'm going to be a business major. That sounds awesome. But then when you get into the business world, you're like, this is not what I want to do. I want to do something else. And so, you don't even know who you are until you're 30, you know what I mean? And you're just trying to figure it out. So that's the hardest part, like being on your own as a 21 or 22-year-old kid with a lot of money in your pocket, not knowing who to trust, not knowing what to do and how to go about your business, and really just trying to figure out, you know, navigating through the money, navigating through the women, navigating through the nightlife, navigating through trying to keep up with the superstars. You know, my rookie year at the time, you know, I made like $400,000, you know, but here's the thing. Peyton Manning was making $350,000 every quarter of every game. And so, you know, it's going to be hard, right? What I made in the whole season, he made in the first quarter. You see what I'm saying? And so it's going to be difficult when Reggie Wayne pulls up in his Bentley and Reggie Wayne making $10 million a year and I'm making $400,000, but I'm like, man, I'm trying to be on Reggie's level. I can go get me a Bentley, but I ain't going to have nothing else after that. And so you got to really humble yourself, like, man, I can't do that. I mean, when Adam Vinatieri pulls up in a $500,000 Ferrari and he's the kicker, and you're like, holy smokes, man, the kicker got a better ride than me, man. You know, like, you got to humble yourself, you know. Everybody want to know what these big-time guys, the type of houses they're living in. You know, when Peyton got a 25,000-square-foot home or whatever it is, and you roll up in that crib, and you living in a 1,600-square-foot condo, you're like, man, I got to get it. You know, so it can motivate you to be better on the field, but you still got to humble yourself. Like, man, these guys are really getting it. So a lot of it is trying not to keep up with those guys that have been doing it for a while, and just trying to stay focused on what you got to do. But it's a lot of things that come up that people don't think about all the time. Like, it's one thing to say, all right, the CEO of the company, he's a multimillionaire. You get it, he's the CEO. It's another when you get your check stub and your check stub say, like, say $25,000 and Peyton's check stub says, you know, $1 million. Like, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. And it can manipulate your aspirations as well. It goes back to what we've talked about this entire podcast, which is it's not about you, it's about the team. Well, when you start seeing, like you said, the kicker pulling up in the Bugatti or whatever, then it's like, okay, I think I should need to be on that level. And then you're thinking about how does Roy Hall make it to the next level rather than how can I help the Indianapolis Colts reach the next level? So, I mean, I can't imagine what that must be feeling like. I would hate to have to go to work and pull up next to all those type of rides. You know what I'm saying? Thankfully, I don't have that issue at my job, but that can be easy for somebody to deal with every day on a day in and day out basis. You left the Colts, and then I think you had a brief stint with the Saints. Is that right?
Went left the Colts. So, you know, I had a microfracture surgery on my right knee, left the Colts. They released me that spring. And went down to New Orleans. They signed me. Then they released me after I tore my hip up. Went back to Ohio State, rehabbed a little bit, played in the UFL, and actually up there with Maurice Claret a little bit for 8 games, the United Football League. They're not even in existence anymore. But then after that season, I got picked up by the Lions. Was there for about 4 weeks. Went back to the UFL. That was the lockout year. Then went back to the UFL. And tore my hamstring, and then they really let me go, basically, because I couldn't finish that season. It was a short season, so by the time I would have came back from my hamstring, the season would have been over. Didn't get any more opportunities. Really didn't even pursue any opportunities after that to try and play again that following season, and that was that.
Wow. I mean, I can't even imagine, again, just one injury after another, going all the way back to, like you mentioned, your senior year at Ohio State, and then just the injuries just compound, and it comes at you fast, you know, and then you look up and then it's all in the past, you know what I mean? But it's great to know that you've, like you said before, been able to leverage that platform that you had as an NFL receiver, and particularly in Columbus as a former Ohio State Buckeye, and make something positive of that. I wanted to get your thoughts real quick on some rapid fire stuff I'm going to throw at you before we go. And I'll try to make it as quick as possible, but I felt like I'd be remiss if I didn't get some of this stuff out there, because you've been such a great guest today and you're a real thoughtful guy with a lot of great insights. So I wanted to get your opinions on a couple things. Obviously the big hot button issue in the NFL right now is the Colin Kaepernick situation. If you were still playing right now, do you think you would be taking a knee or doing some type of demonstration during the anthem? And do you agree with that?
I don't know if I agree or disagree. I do believe in using your influence to impact people and to impact change. And so, am I a guy that would kneel? I'm not a guy that would kneel. I'm a guy that would put up my money and put up my time to do something in the inner city, to educate not only police officers, but also educate, young men on how to engage and the rules of engagement when pulled over or when engaging a person of authority, whether it's the principal of a high school or a police officer. You know, a lot of people talk, and it's a lot of chatter right now and good conversation going on about what we can do, and the injustices, so to speak, to black people in America. But I'm more on the fence of, on the take of, like, hey, well, whatever you have to offer to solve the problem, let's do it. So if you're an NFL football player, that's cool if you kneel, but put up a million like Kaepernick did. Like, he putting his money where his mouth is. Like, the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart shall be also. And so if your heart is in the, really in impacting change and impacting black people, then why are you not putting your money up? You know, put your money up, $100, $200, and build a facility, create a curriculum that introduces young black males to possible scenarios that you could come up in where you need to just keep your, stay on the sidewalk or keep your hands on the steering wheel, whatever it may be, where you educate officers on how to talk to different demographics or different types of people, understanding that certain people are more apt to feel offended or get defensive based on how your tone or inflection of voice or whatever it may be, but create curriculum that can be duplicated and manipulated, so that not duplicated and replicated in different cities or in any city around the United States. But right now, it's just a lot of people talking, and it's cool that you kneel during the flag to create conversation. But if you're not putting those dollars up to create some type of curriculum or some type of facilities or something in these different cities and these pockets that continue to be victims of these types of incidents, then there's really no reason to kneel. And so I applaud Kaepernick because he put up his money. I'm putting up $1 million. I have all these other NFL guys that are in these cities that got something to say about this issue, that are kneeling and putting up their black fist, so to speak. Put your bread up, put your money up, put your earnings up towards those cities of creating some type of curriculum. If you can hire the right person to run your foundation, if you can hire a financial guy, if you can hire an agent, you can hire an attorney and a whole group of district school board members or whatever it may be to create a curriculum and make it mandatory for some of these middle schools and high schools to have to take this curriculum to understand what's going on when you get approached by a police officer and vice versa. And so people are always going to say it's about money. These guys got the money. And if you're not putting your money up and if you're not going down and investing your time and showing your face in these areas on a consistent basis, not one time, but I'm talking once a month or once every 2 months. If you're not doing that, then you're really not doing nothing but just talking. And I'm not about talking, man. So I applaud Kaepernick for what he did. And then he put his money up and said, this is what I want to do. But everybody else that ain't put their money up right now and they don't have some type of plan in place, it's just a waste of time, because this chatter is going to stop. And eventually people going to stop kneeling, and it's just going to go to bed like everything else. And so if you really want to make a change, you got to put your money up towards something that can literally make change over the long term.
Do you think college athletes should be paid, specifically football players?
I don't think that they should be paid. I think that they should be compensated. And I think that money, for example, should be put in some type of trust where if you graduate and when you graduate, you get X amount of dollars to go start your life out with. And so if you give certain guys go to the NFL and have that opportunity to do, you know, have a, make a good living. But, you know, could you imagine if, say, $10,000 at the completion of every academic year was put into, you know, a college football athlete's, you know, trust fund or whatever. And then when he graduates, he gets $50,000 to start a business with, to start his life with, start his family with, you know, or whatever he wants to do, or buy a car or whatever, put a down payment on the house, whatever he wants to do. But it would basically be the same across the board. So now all of a sudden, it's not like if you go to Akron and you go to Ohio State and it's a bigger budget at Ohio State, you know, or if you're a Heisman Trophy winner, they should get $100,000. If you're a walk-on, you only get $5,000. Like, it doesn't matter. But you should be compensated for the amount of money that comes in. And then when you graduate and when you get your degree, you can start your business or start your life out with whatever it is that they decide to put away. And so I think that actually could be done. But that's what I would say. I don't think guys should be paid, like, right now. I just think it would just get too ugly. It's just too many variables that fall into place on how much and where's money coming from, and it's just too much going on. So I think that would be that wouldn't be wise to do, but to be able to put money aside in some type of a trust or something for the future, I think could be very, very beneficial to the athletes.
And I like the idea that you had of making graduation a prerequisite to then reap those rewards and cash in on those earnings or that trust or whatever it is, because that will then incentivize guys to maybe stay in school a little bit longer, pursue their degree, take their education a little more seriously, and then they'll have that payout at the end. What are your thoughts on the concussion controversy and player safety? Obviously, they're making all these rules to tweak the kickoff rules and things like that to try to make it safer for players. And you yourself suffered a significant injury on a kickoff. So, and you play special teams at Ohio State as well. What are your thoughts on the those rule changes and concussion in general, the concussion issue? Do you think that's going to like ruin the game, or you know, is football going to go away because of this concussion information that's coming out?
I just don't think that. I think that people, you just can't satisfy people. One of the very first things I said, you know, and in this interview was, you know, I try and listen to what the Lord tells me to do, and I don't really care about what people tell me to do. Sometimes he uses people to give you information, but you can't please people, man. And no matter what we'll do is we'll watch guys, you know, fall victim to ALS and die and pass away and commit suicide and be depressed and not be able to walk and play with their kids. And we'll watch these ESPN stories and all these things and specials about how this guy's doing and how he can't walk or he can't remember things. And we say, man, that's a shame. That's messed up, man. He was such a great football player. It's messed up. Yeah, it's messed up. But then when we try and implement things that make sure that the guys that are playing right now, that won't happen to them, now everybody's mad that we're changing football. Like, you can't please anybody. Look, the bottom line is guys' lives are being shortened every time that they go head-to-head. The research shows what happens, but the research also shows that you're going to die from smoking cigarettes, but people still do it. The research also shows that, you know, these concussions are like car crashes, but, you know, people get into car crashes every day and you see how bad and how messed up people come out in crashes. And so, you know, we like the sport because it's barbaric, because it's physical. And I love the game of football. I played it. That's why I'm in position I am right now. But at the end of the day, at some point in time, you got to say these are human beings, man. So what if they eliminate the kickoff? It doesn't matter. It's still football. It's still nothing that's going to be able to compare to what football is. They can make football flag football, and people will still pay hundreds of dollars for tickets because it's just a game that we absolutely love. And so you can't want to protect the guys and then get mad when they start changing the rules. You know, I hope when I'm 50, like, you don't know how you're going to turn out until you're 50 or 60 years old. And you know, I don't want to be 60 thinking like, man, I can't even remember this interview I did with Justin, man, back on that podcast, man. I can't even remember what team I played for. Like, who wants to be in that position? But, you know, or you could be like, man, I don't remember anything. I just know somebody told me I was great. How are you going to be great and not even be able to remember that you're great? And so, again, just like the situations where with money and guys not knowing how to take care of their money, or, you know, guys cheating on their wives, or how they fall into temptation, or drug problems, or alcohol problems, or weed problems, or whatever the issues they throw on, you know, athletes, this is one of those things. Like, if you're not doing it, then you should just keep your mouth shut. If you've never gone through it, you shouldn't even have an opinion, because you don't have anything to talk. You're not credible. Like, if you've never done this or been in this situation, you have absolutely no room to talk. Because if I said I was going to take a bat to the back of your head and you can get a concussion, and I was going to do that 17 weeks in a row, and then you tell me if you would want to do that, like, then all of a sudden we can talk. But until you get hit by Ray Lewis running across the middle and you can't think straight and you walk to the opposite sideline, then don't say anything. Just don't say anything, because you're not credible. And so, you know, for the guys that play, those are the guys that you should listen to. And most of those guys will say, you know what, protect me, because I want to be able to remember my grandson and my granddaughter's name when I'm 60 years old.
Right, right. What are your thoughts on this year's Buckeye team? Obviously, they have a big game coming up here shortly against Oklahoma. By the time people hear this podcast, that game will be done and over with. But do you have a prediction for that game? Do you have a prediction for this young Ohio State team this year? And give me a Heisman Trophy pick, if you will, for this college football season.
Right now, I mean, the Buckeyes are rolling. I feel like they're going to beat Oklahoma. I don't know what the score is going to be. I'm not really a big pick a score type guy. I just know that we're going to win that football game. I know that we're going to do our job on the field. It's going to be a tough victory, I think. You know, going out to Norman is going to be challenging. But I do believe that we'll be able to get the job done. I do believe that we'll be able to secure a victory out there. I think that we can go undefeated this year. We just got to keep our heads down. And even though everybody keeps calling us a young team, but it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Man, I know some young people that have made a lot of money and did a lot of great things. And I know some young people that are extremely successful. And we got a young group of guys that are hungry. And when you're hungry and you want more and you're not intimidated by the pressure and intimidated by the competition, you can go be David and go hit Goliath in the face. Like, it's all good. You know, it's a part of your plan and part of what you prepare for. And so I think the Buckeyes will do well this year. I think they'll beat Oklahoma. And I think, you know, we'll go on to not lose a game, in my opinion. We shouldn't. I mean, there's nobody on our schedule that we can't beat. I'll say that. And then be in position to win another national title. And we'll see what happens with that.
You got a playoff prediction or like the four playoff teams or a Final Four prediction, or excuse me, a Heisman prediction on top of that?
Right now, the guys that are playing well are obviously JT Barrett for Ohio State. He's playing well. But Lamar Jackson right now from Louisville is playing
well. Yeah, he had a hell of a game today.
Yeah, he's playing extremely well, and they beat up on Florida State a little bit. So he's obviously in contention, and I think Cook, the running back from Florida State, is out now. But Baker Mayfield, that loss to Houston, put him out. I think the quarterback down in Houston, Ward Jr., he's probably in contention right now for the Heisman. I think the running back for LSU is out now because they lost to Wisconsin. So I think right now it's Lamar Jackson's Heisman Trophy to lose. And then you got JT Barrett. And then you also have who did I just mention?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, Deshaun Watson, he hasn't even been playing as well as people had thought. So right now I think it's Lamar Jackson's to lose, but then you still got JT Barrett up there that could possibly win it, and then the quarterback down in Houston that's probably also up there as well. Well, Christian McCaffrey, you got him too.
Yeah.
I forgot about him out at Stanford. But so those are my top four right now.
I mean, he's like the second coming of Reggie Bush. Like, he's spectacular.
He plays well.
Do you think the team up north is for real? Like, are they really back now with Harbaugh?
I think so. I think they play well. I mean, he runs the same offense he ran in Stanford, the same offense he ran in San Francisco. He simplifies the offense. He gets two big six tight ends that can catch the football, Jason Witten type. But you got Jake Budd up there, and I can't remember the name of the other tight end, but you know, you got a quarterback that can manage the football game, a tall guy, another 6'4", 6'5", guy with a nice arm. And you got a couple of talented receivers on the outside. And you got Peppers, who can play on offense and on defense. So he's created and simplified the game, plays power football, runs the football, you know, 30-plus times a game, you know, plays great defense. And so he's running a traditional Big Ten offense, powerhouse offense. And because of that, it's easy to fit people into the scheme. And so they got destroyed by Ohio State last year. But I do think Coach Harbaugh has done a great job marketing his program. Signing with Jordan and leaving Adidas is a huge move from a recruiting standpoint. Up in his graphic design game, trying to keep up with Ohio State on the Instagram and on the Snapchat and being interactive with our players. And then always doing something within his personality to bring attention to his program. I think he's just done a great job at that. I don't think he does stuff on purpose as much as it's just him, and he allows the cameras to catch it. So as long as they keep winning, they're the number four team in the nation today. You know, they'll be right there at number one versus two or two versus three at the end of the season to really see if they're legit when they come to Columbus in the end of November.
Do you like the playoff format that they have right now?
No, I love it. I love it. I'm looking forward to when they expand even more. You know, anything playoff style makes the sport a little bit better. You know, when you got the four best teams or the six or eight best teams, that's why the NFL playoffs are so significant. That's why the NBA playoffs get so significant once you get into the second and third round. That's why the NCAA tournament for basketball is so huge because you get to see who the best man really is on that day. And it's not so much about rankings or computers or whatever it may be. It's we're going to play on a neutral site, and we're going to see who the best is on this particular day. And so I think it's good. The ratings are through the roof. I think college football fans love it, and it makes every game mean even more now than it did even with the BCS, because if you lose, there's a possibility that you can't get in. If you beat some teams, there's still a possibility that you can't get in. I know Houston was rooting for Louisville today because they're not a Power 5 conference, and so they play Louisville at the end of the year in November on a Thursday night, and so that game is going to be for all the marbles. I mean, if they go ahead and beat an ACC team in Louisville, then they'll probably get an opportunity to play for a national title, and so that's all you can ask for.
It's funny, too, because that's a common criticism of the playoff format, is that it devalues the regular season as compared to the BCS, where people felt like you literally had to go undefeated or at best lose one game early in the season to have a shot at a BCS championship. Whereas with the playoff, you could potentially lose a game or even two games and still maybe make it in if you win your conference or something like that. So, but you feel like the opposite, that the playoff format kind of heightens the importance of each individual game during the regular season. That's an interesting perspective. Do you think the SEC is overrated? Because I kind of do.
I think it's just good football. I think it's not that the SEC is overrated. I just think that the other conferences are a lot better. I think the other conferences are underrated. I think the Big Ten has done a great job in the last few years up in their status. I mean, Michigan beat Florida last year, obviously Ohio State, you know, won in a national title a couple years back. You know, Michigan State playing well, but then they got destroyed by Alabama last year. So I think the Big Ten and ACC and the Pac-10, or maybe it's Pac-12, I can't remember what they are now, but those conferences are now a lot deeper than in the past. And the SEC schools seem to not be as powerful as they were. They're still power. I mean, every year you got Mississippi State, you got LSU, you got Florida, you got Georgia. All right, you got Alabama, you got Ole Miss. You know, those guys are going to come to play. Texas A&M, you got those guys coming to play every year. That's seven teams that you can name off top that's going to be in the top 25 every single year for the most part. But now, you know, you're going to have five Big Ten schools, and then you're going to, you know, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, you know, those teams are going to be in there every year. And so when you have five or six teams from the Power Five conferences in your top 25, there's parity. And so then you'll see some SEC teams lose like we have in recent years.
Last question, man. What's next for Roy Hall? What's Roy Hall's future look like in 5 years? What do you see yourself doing?
I'll still be doing this, but just on a higher level, you know, hopefully on a national level. Hopefully in 5 years we'll have a huge facility up here in Columbus where we can house some of these programs that we do and then go and replicate the process in different cities around the state of Ohio, then start to get out in other places in the Midwest and really hopefully change people's mentality to help others and to reinvent our mindset on giving and giving back and paying forward. You know, I'll be speaking all around the world at that point in time, and I'm just looking forward to it, man, and really just using my platform again for God's purpose and to just spread hope and you know, increase awareness on some of the issues and then tackle the issues with finances and with time and volunteering and different things and creating jobs and really just, you know, taking over this dark area, dark areas of the world, man, and shedding light and being a light, man, and showing people how to be light and showing people how to do good and then showing people how to do more than that and showing people how to be the elephant in the room with their excellence. You know what I mean? The elephant in the room should be the excellence in the room. You see what I'm saying? And so people should feel awkward when you show up with a certain mindset. And people should be looking left and right and checking themselves when you walk into the room. You know, so it's okay to be the elephant as long as there's an elephant of excellence. You know, like, you know, we're here to impact change. We're not here to just lollygag and have conversations. So, you know, our new website that we just launched, RoyHallMotivates.com, is really, really good. We're putting out inspirational videos from different talks that we've done around the country. And then obviously our Driven Foundation website is staydriven.org. Is doing extremely well, just showing people what we're getting done on a weekly and monthly basis. So we're just going to be doing that just times 100, means we're going to be impacting 100 times more people. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how the Lord uses Driven, uses me, and uses the people that are associated with the Driven Foundation to really take people's lives to another level.
You kind of beat me to it, man. I was going to give you the opportunity when we went out just to plug anything that you had going on, plug your websites, Your social media, whatever it is that you want to plug, any type of events or speaking engagements you got coming up. So I'll give you the floor to do that. Just let the people know where they can find you and where they can learn more about the Driven Foundation.
Yeah, so just again, if you go to staydriven.org, that's where you can see our website, everything that we have going in the great state of Ohio and in the Midwest. Personally, you can go to royhallmotivates.com, but I'm on IG, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. If you look up at R-O-Y underscore Hall, it's for Instagram and Twitter, so that's at Roy underscore Hall, and then on Facebook it's just Roy Hall. So you know, that's where you can find me, and we look forward to working with you all. And if you want to support, obviously you can do that as well, but any type of encouragement or volunteering or just words of wisdom, just anything you have to offer, we'll receive and with open arms. And I just appreciate the platform and the opportunity that you've given me in this last almost hour and a half, man, just to talk football, talk sports, talk life. And hopefully, you know, the people that still listen and people that listen to this thing, you know, even if you break it in parts, hopefully it encourages you to do more, understanding that your life is not about you. And there are people literally depending on you to get back on your feet, and literally people that you don't even know depending on you to make some key decisions and give back even more so that they can have the same opportunities that you have. So I'm looking forward, man, to working with you, Jay, on a long-term level, and just seeing all your success and looking forward to hearing how you continue to impact people as well.
Excellent stuff, man. I appreciate you. I'm in debt to you for taking the time to come to this podcast, which was supposed to be a one-part podcast, morphed into a two-part podcast in the process because the dialogue was so fantastic, man. So thank you. Shout out to you, Roy, and the Driven Foundation. And go ahead and check out his website and check out the Roy Hall Motivates website as well. I've seen some of the videos on there where he talks about do your job. That was one of the newer ones that I've seen. And it's really impressive what you're doing, man, in the community there in Columbus. And I look forward to watching you expand that out, especially back to our hometown of Cleveland. So thanks for taking the time today, brother. And we appreciate you. Shout out to, again, Kenneth Hicks and Anthony Houston for their help with the Hip Hop Sports Report NFL preview. Go ahead and check that out again, y'all. Y'all know the website, hiphopsportsreport.com. Find us on iTunes. Let us know what you think about this podcast. Powerful podcast today on September 17th, 2016. One of the more powerful ones that I think we've had to date. Hit us on Stitcher Radio or download the podcast on iTunes and check out the website. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook as well. You already know what it is. This is Jay Hicks signing off. Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast, y'all. Peace. Make me no underdog, and never talk about who's gonna stop me. Well, ain't nobody gonna stop me. Not a heavyweight in the world fast enough to stop me.